I tell you, I got so lost in that song, I almost didn't stand up here. Amen to that. Our God is good every day, and I'm grateful for it. Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody out. As was mentioned a little bit earlier by Brother Scott, we are kind of in the middle of the last hurrah of summer. It's like everybody sees school coming, and they run for the hills or the mountains or the water or wherever they go. But it's good to see those of you who are here. And it's good to have those who are visiting with us on Facebook. Hi, everybody. I always think of everybody on Facebook, but I don't always acknowledge them. But thank you for being with us. We have some members of our own that are with us, as well as those who perhaps go somewhere where they don't have a live stream servicing them. So thank you. Hopefully, you can tell what this sermon is about simply by that photo. I'm going to guess that most of you could preach or you know two or three of the verses that are going to come with that sermon. And hopefully you're singing a song in your mind. Because there's an old, old song. I can't remember the last time we led it here. I don't know that I could lead it. But it goes like this. It's in our book. It's number 266. It says, "Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that that line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost?" Let me tell you something. I prayed for boldness about this sermon, and I've thought about this sermon for a long time. I'm going to be very direct today. And I will tell you this ahead of time. I don't know that there's anyone in this auditorium today that is in need of salvation. To be right off the top of my head, I don't know of anyone that's of the age of accountability as far as young people. I do know we have some visitors here. I know we have some who are not Christians. So if you think that this lesson is terrible and that I'm speaking directly to you, I am. If you think I'm being rude and too direct, I am. I think sometimes, if you saw my little video that I put on Facebook this week, I think we forget what we're about. We're about soul salvation. We're about the fact that unbaptized believers will go to hell. And if that is you today, you need to count the cost. And you need to come to Jesus. And I want to be very plain about that. If you are here today and you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you have not confessed His death, burial, and resurrection and baptism, if the Lord came this afternoon, you would go to hell. You would have to face a God whose Son you rejected. You would have to explain to Him why He shed the blood of His precious Lamb on the cross and why you said, "No thanks." Don't do that. Don't do that. Make your life right before this day is over. A man named Arthur Hodge wrote that song in 1923. There's a little page on the internet called hymnary.org. I have no idea whether I'm saying that properly or not. And it has descriptions of songs. And one of the things it has is frequency of included within songbooks. This song is included in almost every songbook known to man. Why? Because it tells a very direct story. Have you counted the cost? And there are two ways in which we're going to deal with that today. Hopefully from looking at the picture, you know we're going to talk about what you could gain and what you would profit and what you would lose. If not, we'll hopefully by the end of this lesson you'll understand. We stand on one side or the other. We all have a soul. All of us will go into eternity, every one of us. It's not a decision to say, I don't believe that there's an eternity. There's an eternity. It's not a matter of saying, I don't believe there's a hell. There's a hell. The question is whether I will save myself from it or not. And no one talks about hell more than Jesus Christ. One of the great misconceptions in the outside world is that Jesus is universalist, that everybody will go to heaven. That is absolutely denies the truth of Scripture. People who say that have just simply not read the Gospels. Because if you want to find out about hell, go read what Jesus had to say. He had a lot to say about it. And He describes it very graphically. This is from Matthew chapter 25 and two different stories. one the story of the talent, one the story of the final judgment. In verse 30 of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus describes eternity in hell this way. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other places in the Bible, Jesus talks about the fact that the worm dieth not. Listen to what he says in verse 41 after describing the final judgment and those who had not done good to their neighbor. He says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal,'" do you see that word right there? "The eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Are you telling me God is going to cast me into hell? No. No. But you're going to choose it. When we get to the judgment day, what God will say is, "Your will be done." Count the cost. Because the things that we do here have eternal consequences. And for those who do not faithfully serve the Son, weeping, gnashing, and eternal fire. This is serious business. Serious business. We have friends and we have neighbors and we have relatives who today, if the Lord came, would go to hell. If they died today and you are not promised tomorrow. It was made so clear to me yesterday. I had already written this sermon. I knew what I was going to do. And then yesterday, I find out that my friend has passed away from COVID. Roughly my age. Do you think 2 weeks ago that person thought about her eternity? Now let me tell you, she's a fine Christian woman. And there's no doubt in my mind that she's in comfort right now. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But she had already counted the cost and made the right decision. What about us? One of the things I think we need to deal with in this is that we all have a soul. I think it's easy for those who don't believe in Jesus Christ to just ignore it and put it out of their mind. But we must remember something. We have an eternal soul. The Bible talks quite a bit about it, and this could be a sermon in and of itself, but I chose just a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 35, one of the kind of the difficulties, and you'll have people who have very specific beliefs on what the spirit is and what the soul is and what the mind is and all these distinctions. I think that's a little bit foolhardy to make. Our soul, our spirit, are our being. I think that's the best way to understand it. We all have a soul. We all have a spirit. It's all going to be eternal. And we find here Jacob's favored wife, Rachel, is passing away. And she's giving birth to the 12th of Jacob's sons, Israel's sons, a man named Benjamin. And look at how her death is described. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18. About Rachel it says, "And her," that is Rachel's, "soul, as her soul was departing, for she was dying." When we die, our physical body and our soul are separated. That's what death is. But that soul lives on. So when we talk about saving our souls, we're talking about saving ourselves. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 38. Because our soul is just who we are. It is our heart. It is our being. It's not something separate from ourselves. It is who we are. Jesus says here, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, 38, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." My soul, his being, his heart, who he was. The who he was that Rachel was that left, the who he was that Jesus had in the garden are the same. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus tells us about the value of our souls when he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." We will be resurrected, our soul will face judgment, and we will either go to heaven or hell. Everybody faces that. Everybody. You can deny it, you can pretend it's not going to happen, you can say you don't believe it, but deep in your heart you know, in your soul, that you're more than just flesh. And that more than just flesh one day will have to face the judgment. We're told that in Hebrews chapter 9. Every man must face death and then the judgment. So if we all have a soul, it all lives eternally, we're all in this boat together. This sermon applies to everyone in the sound of my voice, whether you're in this room or out. Your soul will live forever. Where will it live? Where there's weeping and gnashing, or where there are no more tears, where there is no need of a son, where we live with God. I know which I have chosen. I know what I strive for. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to imagine that most of you thought of these two verses, this one probably first. We sing another song, "What Shall It Profit a Man?" This is the verse from whence it comes. Notice Jesus here is talking about discipleship. He is talking about my becoming a Christian. He's talking about me picking up my cross. Because Christianity, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, it does cost. It does take effort. We do have to seek the narrow way. We don't just stumble into salvation. It takes effort on our part. But Jesus says this in describing both the effort and the reward. So Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin in verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I want you to notice something. Coming after and following, what do they describe? They describe a disciple. That's what the word means. To be a disciple is to be a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, if you want to become a Christian, in so many words. Verse 25, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person, not just those who believe." You're not making a decision to hide from God. "Each soul," he says, "each person, according to what he has done." Verse 28, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Christ has come in his kingdom. His kingdom is growing. Jesus Christ is Lord. The decision we must make is the decision Jesus put before people in Matthew chapter 16. Will we follow him? There is a cost involved. Notice he says carrying your cross. Jesus is not namby-pamby about this. He's not Pollyanna. He's not saying that everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows if you follow me. It's going to take some effort. There are going to be hard times. There are going to be times when we feel weighted down. But if we follow him, our soul will live. If we don't give ourselves to him, he says that we have to give ourselves to him, lose ourselves in him. I think maybe that's the biggest thing. We don't want to lose control. We don't want to fully give ourselves to the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind, those who struggle with their Christianity are those who will not fully give themselves to the Lord. The preachers in my day would call this fence sitting. I don't know if you've heard that phrase. You're a fence sitting Christian. You got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. That's a tough place to be. You're always worried about losing your balance. Either put both feet in the world or both feet in the Lord, one of the two. I would recommend the latter. When we put both feet in the Lord, we stand in a firm place. We don't doubt. We give ourselves to the Lord. There's peace of mind there. There's trust there. Those things that seem difficult, those things that seem like carrying a cross, all of a sudden don't become as burdened. They become rest. Why? Because we have peace. We need a direction. You know what I hate worse than anything? Sunday afternoon about 11:30. You know why? Because we're trying to make a decision about where we're going to eat. Okay, I don't know what that's like for you. But that's a nightmare for me. Because for 5 or 10 minutes, we're unsure. We don't know. Should we go? Do we tell it? Do we take? Are we going? What are we doing? We're not sure. That's fence sitting. Do you know what I want more than anything in that moment? I don't care where we go to eat. Just pick one. Because once we've picked one, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Christianity is the same way. Pick one. Once you've picked one, you know who to call, you know who's going, you know where you're going. Let's go. Don't fence sit it. Don't be one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. Jesus says, whoever would save his life would lose it. I want to retain my will. I want to be in control, Lord. Jesus says you're going to lose it. If I lose my life, my will, and I give myself to God, I'll find life in this world and eternity thereafter. So Jesus asked the question, you're going to hold on to this world? What's that going to get you? What if I gave you everything? You know what 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us? This world's going to burn with fervent heat. It's going to melt. It's all going to go away. So you can have it. You can have it in eternity. You know what it would get you? Not one thing. Not one thing. Jesus is maybe being a little hyperbolic here, but he's not. He's trying to show us how serious this is. If we miss heaven, we miss it all. Well, Jesus wants us to know that carrying that cross is not going to be easy. He doesn't want anyone to come into his kingdom and feel like they've been hoodwinked. He doesn't want anybody to come in to the church, to come into Christianity and be like, you may not have to give some things up. You may not have to crucify the flesh. You may not have to do some things. You may not have to gasp, go to services. I mean, I hate it. I don't know how you're living. I don't know how we get by. You want me to tell others about Jesus? Whoa. You want me to preach to God? Hey, I didn't know that was part of the deal. Count the cost. Jesus warns us ahead of time. It's going to cost us our life. It's going to cost us our will. Know that before you get in it. That's what's being discussed in Luke chapter 14. And we talked about the title of the song. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? This is the scripture from whence that comes. Notice Jesus here is talking about the same thing he was talking about in Matthew chapter 16. Carrying our cross, being a disciple, being a follower. What does it entail? We'll begin reading at verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sister, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Preacher, man, I don't like that. I don't like that verse. I don't want to hear about that. You're telling me I have to love the Lord more than I love my own family? Yes. You're telling me if my family's wrong and the Lord is right, I have to follow him? Yes. But Lord, I don't want that. I want to hold on to that. I want to save that. I want to gain that. You hold on to the wrong thing, and it's going to burn, and so will you. So will you. This is not a game. Jesus has not been unclear. Weeping and gnashing and eternal fire are what are headed for you if you are not a faithful servant of His. Now, yes, it may cost you something here on this earth. But let me tell you something. If God is not number one in your life, He's in the wrong place. Now, I'm not saying you need to go kick your mama, slap your brother. It's not my point at all. What Jesus is saying is, whatever comes between you and me has got to go. Got to go. And let me tell you something. There are people in this congregation who have made that choice. Made that choice, if not as directly, certainly in a roundabout way. Certainly there are people in this auditorium who have chosen Christ and the truth of His Word over a kind relationship with their family. There are people today who came into this communion knowing that it would make some of their relationships tougher. I know of men and women who were completely estranged from their family because they chose to come into the body of Christ. And I would imagine many of you do as well. They made the right choice. They made the right choice. Because they were born again to a living hope, like we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago in Bible study. To an inheritance reserved in heaven for them for eternity. So Jesus says, don't get it wrong. We're talking about carrying a cross. I may ask something hard of you. And then he says this in verse 28, and this is where we want to go with the rest of our text. Luke 14, we'll read 28 through 33. Jesus says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and he's not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet afar off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Is Jesus saying I have to take a vow of poverty? No. What Jesus is saying is any earthly thing that comes between me and him has got to go. Has got to go. Do I need to think about it? Yes. Before you become a Christian, you need to understand the truth of the matter. You are giving up your will. Well, preacher man, I like to fish on Sundays. I like to lay in bed on Sundays. I don't want to take the Lord's Supper. Lord, I like being angry. Lord, I like being ornery. Lord, I like adultery. Lord, I'd rather get drunk with my friends on Saturday afternoon in the garage than put up with you. Okay. You need to know that's going away. But let me tell you something. What you will gain is far greater than this world. Spiritual blessings in this world and life eternal in the one to come. But don't be fooled. There's a cost counting to it. Finally, there's this in Luke chapter 12. Turn over a couple of pages in your Bible if you would. I'm reading this to you for two reasons. A, one of the last lines in the story, and secondarily because I don't remember that I've preached this story to you. And that's shame on my part. You need to know this story. It's a very common story for me. I think if I told most of you who are a little older that we're going to talk about building bigger barns, you'd know the story immediately. Well, we're going to read it, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about the urgency of it. Because this is a hellfire and brimstone sermon. I want you to feel the heat of hell. I want you to know that you're not promised tomorrow, and I want you to know that if you die before the Lord comes outside of Christ, you're going to hell. Let me be very clear. Don't you leave this audience tonight and go, "Well, I heard that old preacher one time. He never warned me. I just thought we were going together for some kind of self-help club. We were all just joining together and singing hallelujah and helping each other out and doing all that kind of stuff." No. We are saving souls. Luke 12, verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. Common story. If you don't know it, hopefully it will become common to you. Jesus is talking to two men who are concerned about their possessions. They want Jesus to settle an argument between them. He says this in verse 16. "And he told them a parable saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. The American dream. Keeping up with the Kardashians. I want to be a billionaire. All those things. Building bigger barns. Tearing down old ones. Eat, drink, and be merry." You know what the next line says? Most of you do, I assume. If you don't, let me read it to you. Again, not the words of Jason Sage. The words of our loving Savior. Verse 20. God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Don't get to tonight and not have counted the cost. Don't leave this building till you've expressed your faith in Jesus Christ and been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Because that's the line. Jesus, when he talks about hell in Matthew chapter 25, to avoid hell, he says this, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Are you serving Him faithfully? If you've not been brought into the body of Christ, if you've not been born again of water and the Spirit, that cannot be said of you. Maybe you've come into Christ and you've failed. You've given back into the world. You put things in front of Jesus. And you've got family and friends and worldly things. And you're tearing down your barns and building greater. And you're saying, eat, drink, and be merry. And you're not worried about the Lord's coming. You're saying, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Let me tell you something. Wake up from your stupor and repent. Turn to the Lord. Stir your zeal. Don't get to the judgment day and say, no one told me. I mentioned Matthew chapter 25 earlier. I'll finish the lesson with this. Matthew 25 and verse 45. Let me turn over there and read it to you. Matthew 25 verse 45 through 46. Jesus says this. Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Everybody must make the choice. What will it be? We will receive judgment for the things that we've done in the body. Will we have put this body to the Lord's service, or will we have gained the whole world? Have we held on to selfish things, carnal things, or have we given ourselves to Jesus Christ? Those who've given themselves to Jesus Christ know that their cross will be exchanged one day for a crown. Repent today. Turn to Jesus, whether it be an initial obedience or if you need the prayers and you need forgiveness from the Lord, please come forward as we stand and we sing.